Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me say hi to Micah and hi to Benny. Hi to both of my producers today. Thank you all.
Hi, Pat.
I was just wondering, I was looking at the shows today and now Mark Vitusek. I was looking at Linda scheduling these because she doesn't do things randomly. She does things that make sense to her. And I'm thinking, what are we going to, when you're falling, dive lessons in the art of living, exactly what I need to talk to him. And I said to Linda, just make sure we need an hour. I want to talk to him an hour because I forget this when you're falling, dive. And you know, one of the things I love about this, because even though Mark, you may not have thought about this, I reflected upon my first skydiving event. And there are pictures of me. I don't know if Micah, if you got them, or Benny, if you have them. But one of the things you learn when you jump out of a plane, just saying, I'm not saying for anybody to go do this. So please, I don't want to get emails from your partners and your spouses that Dr. Pat said. I am not saying. But when you jump out of a plane, you dive. And when you dive and you have that experience, why is it that pictures and the video of me has the biggest smile on my face that I have ever had? People didn't even know I could smile like that. They were like, you've got to be kidding me. But what is it about that? What you don't know is the preparation that happens before you jump. What you don't know is what went on in the plane. You see, when you're falling, what is this about your life's journey that Mark talks about? What are the lessons you're going to learn about today that will help us all understand that there is a smile you can put on your face if you understood what he's written in his book today and what he shares? For those of you, I want to introduce you to my very special guest today so that those of you know who Mark is. First of all, if you find out about who he is, an award-winning author, a teacher, a speaker, but he focuses on transformative writing, whether it's personal, professional, spiritual development. And when you read something like that about somebody, you know that they've been through the fire. You know it, because in order for you to get to that place, in order for any of us to be able to talk about any of this, reading about it in a textbook is not going to have us show up authentically. And so when you know this about somebody, then you're not surprised when you do read this book that comes across your desk and you think this book is just for you. Today, you're going to hear about how you get through and thrive, how you get through some of life's greatest trials, and what is the secret knowledge about that? What can you learn about being out and understanding the art of survival? What does it mean to cross the own wilderness that's inside of each of us? What does that mean to really study and learn to find out that what's inside of you is always meant to come out and be powerful beyond our recognition? And what would you learn from Mark today as he's interviewed hundreds and hundreds of well-known survivors, right? But what is it about, folks, that can remind each of you, you too, like you, every one of us, we have it inside of us. Mark, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Pat. It's great to be here.
Every story, 20 years, I love doing this. I love learning. But every story, especially when you show up as powerfully as I've just described you, and I've just really just scratched the tip of the iceberg, starts with a personal journey. It starts with something that has either rattled our cage, rocked our boat, the parachute that you don't think is going to open as you're jumping out of the plane. So here's my question to kick us off before we really talk about this. See, underneath writing a book like this, you know what it's like to survive. You wouldn't have, this would not have been of interest to you. What is it, what challenges, what obstacles, what did you have to overcome to get you to be here in this very moment today?
Well, that really begins when I was a young kid. I grew up in a house where there was a lot of trauma and loss, violence, and fear. And there was nobody around to give me any guidance. So I became a seeker when I was a very young kid. I turned inward for answers to how to get through so much of the suffering and the pain that was around me. So that was the foundation as I started writing when I was a very young child and realized that it could really be a path of self-insight. And then when I was in my late 20s, I was just an ordinary yuppie in New York City working in the magazine business and trying to climb the ladder. And I was hit with a fatal diagnosis, and I wasn't supposed to live for more than 5 years. So everything fell apart in my life. I quit my job. I followed a friend to India. I turned inward. I started asking myself the kind of questions that seekers ask themselves. And so for 10 years, I was really basically a Dharma bum, living all over the world, wherever I could sleep on people's couches or a monastery ashram. And I was preparing myself to die. I was really trying to cope with day-to-day terror of when is the shoe going to drop? And it was completely, meant to drop. Well, it didn't drop. Treatments for my condition, arrived, but I was able to go through that complete letting go of any sense of certainty or control. Yeah. And that's really what set me up for the work that I've done, as a memoirist and as a teacher, because survivors are more deeply rooted in life than people who have not been tested. And this is such an important point, because when you get rooted that way, it vitalizes you. It brings you to life. It doesn't break you. It actually plugs you into a deeper source.
My gosh. I tell you, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, Mark. And first of all, thank you for sharing that, because you and I have that in common. I have achieved a lot in my life. I thought survival came at a very young age based on my childhood, my mom's suicide, being homeless. I thought that was survival. No, that wasn't it. Survival came to me, in your words, after I read your book and I read these stories. When it hits your physical state, okay. Right? You're shaking your head. So you know what I'm about to say.
I do.
6 months after starting this journey, 20 years ago, I dial a wrong phone number. And honestly, I go on a journey. Everybody wanted to commit me. My friends, my partner, they're like, what are you doing? That was 20 years ago. I bought airtime. 1 hour. I paid a lot of money. It felt like breathing to me. And I've never looked back. Started a network. However, 6 months after this, man, I started to listen to people. Like, really? You're not going to take that big corporate job? Like, you went to school for 10 years. Look what you did. You won award. Da, 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 da. And I got a mystery disease. And I'm telling you what you just described. I lived for 10 years with something that according to people, could have killed me in my sleep. But you see, that's why you and I are talking today, because we don't want people to have to go through that, right? I mean, isn't that why you do what you do? It's not to say to everybody listening, hey, you got to go through that. It's like, oh no, you don't have to go through that. You can learn. Isn't that part of why you wrote this book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are all going to encounter suffering, impermanence, loss, sickness in our lives. That's not the point. But we don't have to go through it without insight, without awareness, and without really getting that we're not just this body. Because that's what you said. You started by saying it when it really hits you in your body, that's when you wake up. And it's true, because it forces you to look at what am I beyond the body? What is there a part of me that transcends the body, that survives the body? And that's what begins a spiritual life. So what I want to say to people is, when you're aware that your circumstances don't have to define who you are, and that pain and suffering are really there to wake you up, they're instructors and guides, it changes how you experience adversity. So it's true, people don't have to go through it blind. They can go through it with a lot of tools, which is why I wrote that book.
And I want to talk with people about the book. First of all, I mean, there are books, and when you open up a book, you look at the cover, but then you also look at the table of contents, right? And it's usually the table of contents. When I open this up, I go right to the table of contents because I'm like, wait a minute. Which one do I want to start with? Which story am I going to start with? Where do I want to start? Because I know enough about your book to know this is a journey. This is a journey through stories, but it's also a journey of people and every story in here. I want to ask you though about this. This is going to be the weirdest question. I bet you not. Yeah, I bet you haven't gotten this question. There's so much richness, but you chose to come out of the gate with this story, magical thinking, right? And I just want to be inside your head. Now I've read it, so I know. But I want to be inside your head because you obviously thought that was an important place to start.
Absolutely, because magical thinking is one of our primary crosses to bear. It's a real obstacle when you're facing adversity. And I had interviewed Joan Didion, the late great American novelist, and she had written a book called Magical Thinking, The Year of Magical Thinking, after her husband died. And when I was reading this book, it made me think, this is what we want to avoid. This is really this a step we can skip. Because it kept her in a cycle of, regret, expectation, denial, resistance for years that she ha then had to learn how to get over. So with, no criticism of Joan Didion, and it's a fantastic book that she wrote. But magical thinking isn't our friend when what we need is actual strength. And the strength comes from facing the facts. It does. Information is the antidote to fear. Knowledge, you could say, is the antidote to fear. And so we need to look at what's actually going on if we hope to have any kind of stability, equilibrium, and resilience in our lives.
I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. I was thinking of this story and I was thinking of your book. And I have a friend that, oh my gosh, the past 6 months from her entire life is upside down. The loss of her husband. Then things happening with the home and having to really get things done in the home that she didn't expect. I mean, it's one thing after the other, right? Going through the estate and having there maybe estate kind of issues. I mean, it was just one thing after the other. And I had a conversation with her today and she said something fascinating to me, which I was actually surprised she had the wherewithal to say, what is this all for? Right, all of her to-do list, because it's one thing to lose a loved one, but it's another thing to spend every day since that to really have to work on some very big issues, right, that you may not have faced before. And I said to her, in my own words, I think what you said. I said, look, you're not expected to be any other place than where you are right now. And your goal is to do the next indicated thing. That's what your mission is right now, right? And I said, don't underestimate what you've gone through, but the future will be revealed to you because you're in the middle of the journey right now. And even in the middle of the journey, you got to remember to drink your water. You got to remember to get your water. So you have to do the next indicated thing, and you're surrounded with people that would help you. And I was so struck by these stories and how the people in your stories knew the next indicated thing.
Because the only other choice, as everyone knows who's been in a crisis, is to do nothing, to stay in the corner, shut the door, shut the windows, and just rot and just give up. You get to a point when your back's against the wall, you don't have the luxury of a lot of rumination. So it becomes an act of survival. If I'm going to survive, not only as a body, but as a soul, as a spirit, then I'm going to have to say yes. And yes is, as you're saying, the next indicated thing. And it doesn't have, there is no right thing. That's the important
No.
thing. You know, if you take door A, you'll learn those lessons. If you take door B, you'll learn those lessons. So really, it is no, there is no right or wrong choice. There are better and worse, more skillful, more helpful choices and less, but there's no wrong choice. Because
Exactly.
I can tell you from my own experience, some of my wrong choices have led me to my life, my work, the things that matter the most to me.
Look. People ask me how I got started. I say I dialed a wrong phone number, and I did. That's what happened 20 years ago. And the odd thing is, like, you're in Boston now. I grew up in New York. You know this, and I know this. People that this is not a bad thing, so please don't email me when I say this. But people in New York, we grow up according to a pace. We don't stay on wrong phone number phone calls. We just don't. It's not in our makeup. I mean, some of us, maybe now I do. But 2003, you dial a wrong phone number, you hang up. I didn't. See, and this is what I love about your book. And I want to jump to this. I want to ask you this one question. One of the stories, by the way, I will tell you, took place, I believe, if I read it right, in a part of Brazil that I found out my grandfather was born in. The best secret in the planet. Your grandfather was born in Brazil and you thought you were Italian all your life. Hello, found that out about 4 years ago. And I was reading about this because, you know, I'm fascinated by it, but I'm really struck by this. I went through your book and there's a part of me that got activated. What changed in you? Writing a book like this had to change you. I mean, it sounds impossible because you've been through so much. But I know when I read the book, I'm like starting to think and second think some things. How did writing this book change you, Mark?
It gave me a lot of hope and faith in the power of the human spirit. You know, I knew what I had been through. I knew some of the things I had done to make it, to survive. But when I realized one is part of a tribe of survivors, it's part of a human journey that's universal. And you realize that regardless of the circumstance of a particular adversity that you're facing, it's part of a pilgrim's progress toward awakening that all of us are on. So where your wake-up call comes is irrelevant. Hopefully it will come when you're young. So you'll have the right. So then you have the time to actually, you know, have a second life or may start a new chapter. But wherever it comes, it's part of an archetypal journey, a universal journey. And that's very strengthening because one of the things, as you know, when you're faced with pain and loss, is to take it personally and to feel set apart or poor me. Or this book removed the last remnants of that in me. And I realized that this is really part of something that is meant to happen.
I want to talk. I'm going to read from the. I'm going to read from your words in the book. I just need to read this. It really begins the book, but it really is so important for people to read. A lot of people. So you all. I have told you a lot about reading books, but I will tell you the one things you don't want to do is ever not read an introduction. What I have found coming from somebody that grew up not being able to read. I have learned to really appreciate words and stories. And what I loved about this is how people, and I think you talk about it, whether you're in a hospital room or a penitentiary, and I work with women that are in jail and addiction and recovery, right? So I understand that. And boy, what a dream. I could write a book about that, but I would have the women help me write the book. But what you say is so beautiful. You say many of them have learned to turn their obstacles upside down and realize, as one grieving mother told me, that no matter how painful life becomes, something else is also true. Unexpected gifts come in. I'm gonna cry. Why am I crying over this? Unexpected gifts come in unlikely containers. I'm surprised, overjoyed to still be here, healed but not cured, chronically awestruck. Grateful beyond measure for another day. I hope that this book is a comfort to you. Let its chorus of voices remind you loud and clear that even with the cards stacked against you, life is always worth the risk. So many people are feeling that life is stacked against them today.
Yes, it's true. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm happy this book is being reissued at this particular moment.
I am too.
A lot of people are facing the kinds of questions that folks who have, you know, gone through crises or terrible, you know, adversity have been asking for, you know, most of our lives. But now with the pandemic and with, you know, the rise of fascism around the world, all of what's going on, people are looking at life feeling like there is an overwhelming opposition to wellness. There's an overwhelming obstacles to having a viable future.
Yeah.
And so to live that way, it's hard to find your way through that kind of a dark wood, a forest. And a lot of people are finding themselves in the middle of the forest trying to find their way out, which is what this book is meant to be, a kind of a light. It's a light with a lot of individual lights in it, because as you said, it's full of stories and people's different approaches to wisdom. But it's meant to be the kind of book that people can pick up in the middle of the night, open at any place, and get some wisdom, get some strength and some hope.
Yeah, it reminded me of, you know, my time out in the desert and looking at a very dark sky and watching each star pop up, almost as if they come in one by one, you know, as the sun sets in the desert, until the sky is filled with these beautiful stars and you find yourself drawn to one or the other, not always the biggest, but you just find yourself drawn. And I think that's what happens in the book. You know, there is a story for everyone. And I want to ask you about this because I used a skydiving analogy to open the show. Again, least likely person, didn't think I'd get out of New York, but love skydiving. And I remember the whole journey. I just remember it. And I remember the parts where you're preparing. Now, the title of the book, I have so many versions that I see of my life of falling. But I want to hear your version of this, because for people that don't quite understand the idea of falling and diving, unless you skydive, you don't fundamentally understand the difference. For me, falling from an airplane, you're so up against the resistance of the wind. I don't know if people can relate to that, but I just want to say, so when you come out of that plane, y'all, there is the falling part until you realize you don't have to experience that. And when you decide to put your head down, I know this sounds crazy, right? Put your head down, something energetically changes. Can you talk to your meaning that probably has nothing to do with my skydiving experience, but boy, it is a visual. It's a visual and a visceral experience for me to even talk about it.
Sure. The difference between falling and diving is surrender and giving over control to a force that's larger than we are. And I can actually tell a skydiving story that illustrates this perfectly.
Please.
One of my oldest and dearest friends had dreamt of skydiving her whole life. So for her 50th birthday, she put together a little party of people to skydive together. And everyone went, and she wanted to go last. Everybody jumped out of the plane. Finally, it came to be her turn. And she said, "No, I'm not going." They said, "You have to go." She said, "No, I'm not going." And she had made a deal with them beforehand. If I don't want to go, push me. So the guys came and they pushed her out of the plane, but she never surrendered. She flailed. She was terrified. She landed on her feet and she did a lot of damage to her body. And that's really a true story. And that's a perfect example of what happens when you don't give over to what's happening. You know, she was literally falling out of a plane and acting like she could, you know, could hold on. And what it did is it caused a lot of injuries. So
isn't that metaphorical
about giving over? Excuse me.
Oh my gosh. See, I didn't know that. Look, I can only relate to this, but I can relate to parts of my life. Now that you've just described that, I want to take a short break when we come back. I want to talk about some of the stories and some of the examples, because the message that I hope we bring as a network, and the hosts bring, and you bring, and the book, and thank you for bringing this book back out. But it's not just about the book. This is a life path for you. People can join you. They can look at the Seekers Forum. They could look at the book. They can look at places. And I want to make sure, one, Mark, that people know what is the best way to find out more about you. What is the best way to step into a journey for those people that may not know some of the things we're talking about? Because everyone can participate. How do they find out about this? How do they get the book?
Well, the book is available wherever books are sold. People can look at my website, markmatusik.com, or my community for talking about these kinds of things, which is called theseekersforum.com. And I love connecting with people. These are both resources for a lot of what you're talking about, people who want to know where to start, but there are so many different options. The Seekers Forum, we have a huge resource library for people to dip in and say, well, that works for me, that resonates, that doesn't resonate.
I have to tell you, I love that you did that. And I want to say this to folks, because there is a way to get relief for whatever you're going through. That's why we do these shows. That's why I've been doing it 20 years. Never thought I'd end up being any good at it. Just saying, like a kid that stuttered in the Bronx. That doesn't work in the Bronx. But here's what we're talking about. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is the opening. If you're listening to this, there's an opening. I'm just saying. But what is the opening that you may tap into? Because what Mark has been able to bring to the forefront is that there is a story in each of us. There's a story that could tell us how victimized we are. There's also a story that could tell us how victorious we are, how powerful, greater than you can imagine. When we come back, we're going to share some of those stories. And by the way, it is, thank you for texting me. I'll say it slowly. TheSeekersForum.com. The, T-H-E, put that in front of it, like the Dr. Pacho. If you put that, the Seekers Forum, when you get there, you're going to find there's opportunities to become part of something. There are programs, all of it's right there. And then Mark's website, and yes, I will also tell you about that, and I will spell it for you. Thank you for texting me. I love that my listeners have my phone. It's Mark Matusik. I'm going to spell it Mark, MarkMatusik.com. But Google, when you're falling, dive. Go ahead and Google it. Benny, Micah, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk story. We'll be right back, everyone.
Hey, you. Have the bumps in life's road taken away your passion, your fire, and your power? What would you do if you could take it all back? Tune in to The Take Back Show with Tiffany Watkins, strategies to take back your control. Tiffany has 25 years experience in business and leadership roles and will teach you how to grab a hold of your life and make it work for you. Streaming live every second and fourth Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific on YouTube, Facebook, and TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com. Net.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tell you so many stories. I mean, you know, we're talking about stories, and I didn't even say welcome back, Benny. So sorry, kind of forgetting. I want to welcome everybody back. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I was just like talking with Mark Matusik, joining me here today. And he is the author of many things, but right now we're talking about When You're Falling, Dive. Lessons in the Art of Living. And so what this book has, it has so many stories, okay? You know, because that's what Mark does and does it so well. He does many other things. But part of what this book is about is understanding adversity, understanding how adversity becomes powerful awakening. Now, Mark, you and I, earlier we shared, it's not that my only awakening was having my body fail. And by the way, overnight, like March 31st, my body was great. April 1st, it just came apart. But it's not just about that. I had many other opportunities for that to wake up. And I did do a little awakening. I really did. Like leaving my corporate job because I looked in a mirror one day and I was unrecognizable to myself. Like stop drinking and using at the age of 40. But I want to ask you this question. As you went through these and you heard these people tell their stories, which ones of these really stuck with you today? Which ones come to mind today? I know I put you on the spot, right?
Well, there are so many wonderful stories. I would say three that I would talk about. The first is a woman named Maria Houston, who you mentioned when you read from the introduction. She wrote a wonderful book about her daughter's death called Hannah's Gift. And what she said to me is after her daughter, three-year-old daughter, was diagnosed with cancer, everything fell apart. Her marriage fell apart. Her other relationships fell apart. She was suicidal. But she had a revelation one day. She realized that no matter what was going on, something else is also true. And that all the information isn't in. And that's knowing that is what was the light that got her through the worst darkness. That was an amazing story. The second one is Ram Dass, who is somebody I'm sure your listeners know of.
Oh, my God. I did a great interview with Ram when I first started out. And yeah, tell his story because it's amazing.
Yes. Well, I about 20 years ago, an editor friend called me and said, I'm doing a book with Ram Dass. He's just had a major stroke and he needs somebody to help him finish his book. And he was, you know, paradoxically writing a book about conscious aging. And what he realized when this is someone who had traveled the world 50 years, he was an ambassador of enlightenment and, you know, caretaker to the world. Suddenly he realized that he still had work to do. And that part of his stroke was telling him that he needed to be embodied. And so I worked with Ram Dass for a year on the book, Still Here. And something he said to me has been very influential. What he said is that everything in life falls away. Everything, the body diminishes, people die, you know, that life is impermanent. But one thing increases, and he said, and that's wisdom. He said, till the day you die, you can be building wisdom as everything may else fall away, but that is something that grows and that gets stronger. And that's been really important to me as I've gone through my own losses, realizing that the insight that comes is something that it's a richness, and it's something that we can take forward with us. And the other story, Pat, is Stanley Kunitz, who was a great poet, and I met him right before his 100th birthday, and he was just an extraordinary man. And he said to me, he said, reinvention is my philosophy. He said, I don't wake up every day as a nonagenarian. I wake up as a poet. And he, the sense of life beginning again every day, and that reinvention is always possible. And being surprised by our lives, you know, not becoming same old, been there, done that, but always being open to new experience is a way of resilience. It's a way of strengthening our spirit. And Stanley Kunitz was an extraordinary example of that. So those are three of the stories that I've really used in my own life. The principles have helped me stay clear in times when things get cloudy and as you know, life can feel overwhelming.
It is. And yet what I love about this is, see, I have an expression that I don't know how to say any better than I say it. Sometimes you can't plan this stuff, right? Mm-mm. But you better plan to be awake enough and aware enough to know when it's showing up.
That's good.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you and I 20 years ago, I am pretty sure it was about the same time that we were talking to Ram Dass. I even flew down to one of the conferences to interview him. And he talked about, I mean, I'm getting ready to pull some of these interviews and play them again because they're so rich. And he's talking about his time trying to get on a plane, like after the stroke in the wheelchair. And so when I say you can't plan these things, but you really do need to plan your readiness for when they show up, isn't that also a theme that comes through? Some of these folks, when you read about it, they didn't plan these things. You don't plan the loss of your child or a husband or whatever you want to call it, but there's something inside of each of us that can be ready for when those things happen. Isn't that what this book is also about?
100%. It's about spiritual preparation. It's about psychological preparation. It's about doing the work of awakening during our lives so that when something happens, we have that perspective, that insight into the fact that we're not just our body, that challenge is there to awaken us. These kinds of principles can become part of how we think and how we see. So that when you lose your friend, when you get the diagnosis, when your job falls apart, you know, when your wife leaves you, you're not without tools. You're not without awareness. You've done some preparation. You're not completely surprised and thinking, well, how could this happen to me? You know, why wouldn't it happen to you? You're a human being. So a lot of people go on automatic and they want to ignore the human condition. And until life comes along, clobbers you over the head, and you can't ignore it anymore. It's much, much better not to wait to that moment to begin the journey of self-knowledge and self-discovery.
Yeah. You know, I don't think any of us, Mark, could have planned these past 3 years. I didn't. But here's what I've learned, and I would love for you to talk to it because some of the stories are in the book. I've often wondered why certain things pop up in my life. I've thought about this. You know, I don't ruminate on it. I don't lose sleep. But I've often thought about it. And I've thought about what have those things done to prepare me for where I am today and what I am called to do. And what I learned from these 3 years is I thought I was prepared for what I'm called to do, and they helped me get more prepared. How do these things, through the stories, through your life, how can we talk to people to say, yes, we understand what you're going through, even now, even though the rest of the world and maybe your maybe the government thinks, oh, COVID's over. But honestly, if you're a small business, you know you are feeling it, right? We all know that. But it's preparing us. And these stories in your own life, my sense is it doesn't matter what crawls out from under the rock. There's something in that thing that crawls out from under the rock that's getting ready for us to look at a bigger rock, right? What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think the pandemic came along at a moment when we've forgotten that we are connected as a global species. You know, this has forced us to acknowledge our mortality, our fragility, our impermanence as a species. This has never happened in human history before. And it's no accident that it's happening at a time when we're endangering the planet. We're endangering our immune systems. We are overusing animals and animal products, the cruelty to animals. This points to all of those issues that the pandemic grew out of. So that it is a big awakener. It's a global awakener. And I know a lot of people, as I'm sure you do, who have really changed their lives because of this. They've given up jobs that they hate. They've left relationships that weren't working. They've given up certain things that were harming habits that were killing them. The pandemic has awakened a lot of people. And that, I think, is it's preparing us for what is coming. Because when you look out there, Pat, I don't have to tell you, it's a dangerous, dangerous moment on this planet. And it is unprecedented in the number of different dangers, you know, from superbugs to fire tornadoes to famines, refugees. It's gotten overwhelming. And so I think the pandemic is it's like a 10-pound weight, and we're in the gym, we're starting with like a 10-pound or 5-pound weight, because the truth is most of us, we're inconvenienced, but we didn't actually suffer that much. There are things coming down the pike that are going to take a lot of strength and a lot of community and connection that this is preparing us for.
Yeah, I love this, and I love talking with you about it, because part of this, and you read through the stories, and there are some of them that, you know, you'll relate to some and the other, and some people relate to others. But man, there are lessons, as you say, when you surrender and let go. And I want to reach back out and talk to you about that. For me, it was a process in learning. You know, there have been some moments in my life where I've been shocked into surrender. Like what I shared with you, walking down in my fancy outfit, getting ready to go to my high-paying corporate job, and stopping in the foyer. I called it a foyer because it's Jersey. Stopping in this big place at the bottom of the stairs with two giant doors on 5 acres, right? And there's a mirror, because you always have to check the way you look before you get into your fancy sports car, don't we? Right. And I remember this one day with my beautiful collie, and I'm looking in there and I'm like, who the are you?
Right.
I can't cuss on the show, but I literally said that I was unrecognizable to myself. Mm. See, that's one of these things. I call that a point of surrender, that I was willing enough to look and just be aware of that. Let's talk about how folks listening here maybe thinking, I'm not that person. I haven't lost a child. I didn't go through this illness. You don't have to. What we're trying to say to you, you may have a mirror moment, right?
That's right. That's right. And in that moment, you could have said no, turned away from it, and just gone up to your office or where, you know, I don't know which direction you were moving, but you didn't do that. And that changed your life. It gave you your real life. As far as people using this, Pat, everyone suffers, everyone hurts, everyone loses, everyone gets sick, everyone has fear. So we don't have to wait till we are overwhelmed by a life-threatening crisis to start to do this work of awakening. But as I said earlier, a lot of people go through their lives trying to deny the human condition. Oh, I'm fine. You know, I'm not scared. You know, they're confident. They're in control. And they hold on to that. The ego holds on to that as long as it possibly can until, you know, very often life just has to, you know, beat us up and pull it away. What I'm saying to people is we can start to do this work now, and it's important. There's nothing more important than this work. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about awakening to who we are. You know, that's what we're here for. And having these kinds of challenges and threats force us to, that's why, that's the beauty of them. They force us to start to look beyond the material world and our self-centered little ego self. That's the beauty of them, if we use them. Or we can turn away from the mirror, and we can go into denial. We can hold on to it as long as, you know, possible. And then on our deathbed, we can be resisting what's happening, so that we go sort of kicking and fighting into that good night. That's not the way I want to die. And it's not the way I want to live. I don't want to live in denial of who I am, what's happening, and what really matters.
Yeah. I love being able to talk about this because there is a future. It's like this morning with my friend, you know, and I know what that feels like to wake up one day and to say, I don't know what this is all for. You see, I imagine my mom felt that right before she committed suicide. I would imagine the first time she attempted suicide, she felt that. And the second time she was very clear. She couldn't get clear on that. And she didn't have the help. She didn't have the tools. She didn't have you to talk to or me to talk to. You know, back then, women that were feisty, that wanted a better life, you just give them a prescription from Dr. Jacoby. But if my mom was here and she left me with so much of who she is inside of me, but if she were here today, she would tell all of us that there is such a thing as hope. And then there is such a thing as hope in action. And see, what you're writing about and these stories are writing about is you're taking hope to that Ram Dass level. Ram Dass didn't say, we're not going to write the book. He's like, we got to get some help.
That's right.
And I want to ask you about that, because so often, and some of the stories here, you know, may not be clear to people, but I've learned something, and I think you have done it. You have learned it too. I know I can't do it alone anymore, but I really did try in my life. Mm-hmm. I know that I can't do it alone anymore. And I want to talk about that message in the book as well.
Absolutely. And that, well, you're talking about humility, and that's what crisis does, is it humbles you. You realize your limitations. As great as we are, we have limitations. It also forces you to acknowledge that you are connected to other people. You know, you're not doing this on your own. And that's the beauty of it, is that it makes us, you know, it makes us look at that, because, you know, the ego is all around, is all about fear. It's about denying that we need other people. It's about imagining that we are in control. So until we lose that, we can't have any intimacy in our lives. We can't have any true wisdom in our lives, because it's based on a lie. It's based on the lie of the mind that tells us that we're solid, we're not going anywhere, we know what's going on in our lives. Well, we don't know what's going on in our lives. The truth is that we don't know who we are, where we came from, where we're going, or why we're here. These are ultimate mysteries that none of us have solved. So living in that mystery is what this practice is about. It's what the journey of resilience is about. It's living in mystery, and getting this mystery is extraordinary. And it's always revealing itself in ways that we, as you said earlier, can't plan, but are really beautiful and are there for our learning and for our support and our enlightenment.
Yeah. As we move forward, what are you most? I know this is interesting. We're talking about stories of survival, but I want to really go to this next thing. And I think it's what we're all made of, Mark. I think inside of us, we all have, oh my gosh, one of the biggest debates I've ever had was with Eckhart Tolle. And I called him and I said, dude, you better recognize Ram Dass for your book. I'm just saying. And, you know, I did that like and like he was really popular on Oprah and everything. And I'm like sending him little messages like everybody's reading them, right? Like I'm trying to say, please recognize Ram Dass, right? Because he wrote the first book on this. Can you just please acknowledge that 3/4 of what you have in your book, like Ram was talking. So my point is this. there is the work we do inside, and there is the level of power we have to see in each and every one of us. And I wanted to ask you if you could talk to one to three things that you would say right now it's important for people to have. Back then for me, when that was me and I was doing this, I was really ignorant. I had studied the consequences of broken promises for 10 years. So to see Ram Dass, who I read everything he wrote, and then not see him get credit, he did finally get acknowledged for it. It just didn't make sense to me. So there was a level of integrity that I was learning to become in my life, which I had never been before. So I was a little bit overboard. What would we say to people here now would be on your top three for people to say, look, this is what y'all can do now?
The three things would be surrender. And that means saying yes to your life in this moment, in all of its strangeness and mystery and difficulty, allowing for the whole thing to be there, including your shadow. It's very important to acknowledge the shadow and surrender to those parts of ourselves that we reject, that we resist, that we push away. The second thing would be humility, because working on humility, it softens the ego. It gives us a sense of humor. We stop taking ourselves quite so seriously. We realize that we are part of a whole, and that while we are great, we also have limitations. So humility is the awareness of our proper proportion in the universe. That's how I think of humility. And that is something that we need to think about all the time. And the third quality really is joy. You know, we forget about joy. We're so connected to pleasure. We're so connected to the quick hit. How many likes did I get? Instant gratification. The superficial forms of happiness, that we forget about joy, which is happiness with meaning. It's happiness that resonates and that doesn't need an object or satisfaction to be there. And a lot of folks are forgetting about joy. We live in such a cynical age, in an age when we were saying there's so much fear and a lot of depression. The suicide rates are through the roof. Addiction rates are through the roof. The antidote to addiction is joy and surrender and humility. You're in the program, or you said you had sobriety. The first step is to recognize that you're powerless. That's surrender, that's humility. And ultimately it leads to joy, because you get to drop your illusion, this whole weight of illusion and denial. It takes so much energy and so much life force to deny and push things away. When we stop doing that, joy becomes a part of our lives. And joy, it is an attitude. It's a way of being. It doesn't mean being cheerful and happy-faced. You know, joy can have bad days, but still there's an underlying joy that we're here at all. And for people like you and me, people who have survived the worst, you know what I'm saying. Even on a bad day, you're grateful to be here. I'm grateful just to be here. There, a day doesn't pass that I don't feel glad, you know, to be here, even when they're bad days. So that's an experience that can really bring people back to life at times when they're feeling so beaten down, so disheartened that they can't find their way, you know, to the surface.
Yeah. And boy, that's why we do what we do. And that's why we schedule what we schedule, and that's why we have these conversations, Mark. Before we run out of time here, please tell folks how they can get a copy of the book. But also, I want folks to know how they can connect with you, also about the forum, because I really mean it. I am not talking to you because I did this all by myself. Even this show today takes a village, takes people. Look, if we were meant to do things alone, and I've said this a million times, I'd have my own planet and you'd have your own planet. Exactly. Okay, that's where we would be. But you've bringing people together, especially in the forum. So how do we get a copy of the book? How do we get to your website and tell people about the Seekers Forum?
Sure. Well, the book is available wherever books are sold. I recommend going to Indie Books over Amazon, just because I'm on the side of independent bookstores. But you can order the book or get it in any brick and mortar store. My website, markmatusik.com, talks about the work I do using story as a path of transformation and writing as a tool for self-inquiry and self-knowledge. And the Seekers Forum, which is theseekersforum.com, is a community I started in 2013 because I wanted a place to have these kinds of conversations, to talk about the questions that really matter with seekers from across the board. So it's a non-sectarian group. We have Hindus, we have Buddhists, we have atheists and agnostics, we have Christians, Jews. It's secondary. What matters is that we're all people who are interested in this question, who am I? And realizing that that really is where the juice of our lives comes from. So I give a weekly guided writing session for members, which is terrific. I give a monthly talk. We also have guest interviews. So each month I have a luminary from the month we had Ken Wilber, who's an extraordinary man. So we have wonderful guests. It's a great community, and I would just really like to welcome people to, you know, check us out. We it's very, very unique. I don't know any other site that really does what we're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, it is all part of the learning process and the growing process, because you and I said it at the beginning of the show, and I want to repeat it. We are not here to tell people that you have to get a disease that looks terminal in order for you. That is not what Mark is doing. That's not why I do it. We're here to help you create those mid-course corrections in your life without those. Right, Mark?
That's right. Exactly right. Yes, Pat.
We don't want to give you our potholes to step in. We want to actually show you how to get around them and do that. Mark, thank you so much for everything. Last question, personal message. What would you like to leave us with today?
You know, hope doesn't mean that things are going to turn out terrifically. Hope just means that we're open to the future. We're saying yes to the moment. And so I would like to suggest that hope is something that can help people in this time without going into magical thinking and delusion. It's looking at things as they are and recognizing that not all the information is in, and that we have to keep moving in the direction of survival or, you know, the shadow is very, very strong and a worthy opponent. So to keep every day somehow say yes to your life, be grateful for your life.
Yeah, you know, the best workout I've ever had is shadow boxing.
Oh.
Your shadow never tires. Mark, I hope you'll come back. Thank you for everything. I've got the great team here, the best. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Micah. And thanks to all of you. I'm telling you, these stories, you will find something in this book. But more importantly, the forum, you get to be part of a community that wants to move ahead. Thank you, Mark. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.